Please remain standing for this reading of God's Word. It's in Exodus chapter 7. It's printed there in your bulletin if you like to read along from there or in your Bible. Exodus 7 beginning in verse 1, and I'll read through verse 13. And the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring my hosts, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring out the people of Israel from among them." Moses and Aaron did so. They did just as the Lord commanded them. Now Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. That should give some of us hope. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "When Pharaoh says to you, 'Prove yourselves by working a miracle,' then you shall say to Aaron, 'Take your staff, cast it down before Pharaoh that it may become a serpent.'" So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron cast down his staff before Pharaoh and his servants. It became a serpent. Then Pharaoh summoned the wise men and the sorcerers, and they, the magicians of Egypt, also did the same by their secret arts. For each man cast down his staff, and they became serpents. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Still, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. We're going to talk a little bit about the heart tonight, about the hardening of the heart. I think it's very difficult to read that passage without immediately saying to yourself, "God hardened Pharaoh's heart." And we have to wrestle with that. We have to say to ourselves, what was going on there? What did God have out for Pharaoh? And I think immediately we might think of ourselves. And we're going to stay in the text a little while before I talk too much about us. But I think it's a fair question to say, what about my heart? Is my heart hard? And if my heart is hard, did God harden it? You know, is it like the person who goes to the cardiologist and the cardiologist looks at their heart and says, "You know what? Genetically, you've got heart problems. You eat well, you exercise, but looking at your heart and based on the history of your family, wow, you've kind of got a bum draw here, you know? It's like you're playing poker and everybody's got a full house and you're sitting there with five of nothing. And unless you can really bluff, I don't know what you're going to do, right? How are you going to pull off this deal?" And so as we look at this passage, it really brings a bit of wonder into our hearts. And I'm going to use the word heart a lot, okay? And so you're going to hear it in a couple different usages. The Bible almost always uses the word heart as the core of a person's being. The actual word heart isn't what's in the Hebrew text. It's the word that we translate to mean the innermost part of a person. In other cultures, they translate this to be stomach. Or in some of the older translations, you'll literally see the word bowels, the deepest, most inmost part of a person. And we know that what the word heart means, it's where our ability to feel and make decisions and our will that we're going to assert. That's where those come together within the core, that the Hebrew word and the word that we use in our culture is the word heart. And so I want you to kind of pull that together, okay? It's a big picture that we're going to try to tackle in just a few moments this evening. But before we do that, I want you to get a sense of not only what's going on in Pharaoh's heart, but I want you to get a sense of what's going on in the hearts of Moses and Aaron. They're God's servants, and they're having an episode. They're in a situation where Moses has lost confidence in himself. The last time he was in Egypt, it didn't turn out so well. He ended up being run out of town because he killed somebody, right? At about the age of 40. And then he ends up in Midian in the desert taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. And so as he's taking care of his father-in-law's sheep, after about 40 years, what happens? We have this burning bush moment, and God tells him to go back to Egypt. And Moses says, I can't do it. Moses has lost self-confidence. He was so confident before, he took matters into his own hands. Now he's been a bit humbled. He's contrite. He has a better estimation, not only of his abilities, which I believe were great, but of God's abilities. And now he comes back and God tells him to go before the elders of Israel and to present the signs to them. And he and Aaron go together. They present the signs and the elders of Israel believe. And then in Moses' first episode with Pharaoh, which we've kind of skipped over in the last couple chapters, it didn't go so well. Pharaoh basically tossed him out, and then he increased the amount of labor the Israelites had to perform. He removed the straw that he had provided for them in order to make bricks, but he didn't lower the quota. Some of you are kind of living that right now, you know, with our economy. You're still trying to meet your quota, but there's no substance there. There's no straw to mix with the brick. And so now the people of Israel are furious at him. Moses has lost confidence in himself. The people of Israel have lost confidence in Moses. How would you like to be a leader with no confidence in yourself and no confidence of your people? It's probably what it feels like to be president of the United States right now, right? It's a very difficult situation. I don't mean that overly politically. I'm just saying it's tough, right? It's a tough deal, whether it's President Bush or our new president. They're in very difficult situations. I want you to get the feel of this passage and not just skip along. Sometimes we read the Bible and it's like blah, 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 blah. Let's get to something big. This is big, okay? Sometimes we think that the mundane is not critical. If you're not walking with God in the mundane, you're not walking with God. Because our lives are lived in the mundane. So this is an episode for them. They're having a moment. Now, if you have your text still open, look at verse 28 of chapter 6, and it'll kind of reaffirm what I've just said, and then we'll dive into this text a little bit. On the day when the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, the Lord said to Moses, I'm the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say to you. But Moses said to the Lord, behold, I'm a man of uncircumcised lips. How will Pharaoh listen to me? And so that's the backdrop of what's going on. All this confidence has been lost. And really, their only hope is in the Lord. And so I want you to recognize that Pharaoh at this point is the man of greatest power in the world. He's the most powerful person on the face of the earth. And Moses is going to go present God's plan to him. So Moses, if you will, is kind of stuck between a rock and a hard spot. He's got the people of Israel who are furious with him, and he's got Pharaoh who kind of treats him like a flea on the back of a dog. And so Moses is having this moment, and he's scared to death. He's afraid that he's an earthly failure. I want you to know that Moses' only hope is in the Lord. And that's a good place to be. I don't know where you are tonight, but if your only hope is in the Lord, you've been disappointed by another person. You've given them your trust and they've crushed you. It's very hard. Your hope is only in the Lord. It's only in the Lord. And I want everyone to get that sense that he's the object of our hope. He is our greatest hope. Now, I want you to look at verse 1, and I'm going to take this apart a little differently than you might think. It says in verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, see. I've made you like God to Pharaoh. That word see, I really want you to recognize it as this. It's look at me. If my meditation on this text is correct, and I believe that it is, or I wouldn't be preaching it, this word see means look at me. I'm the great I am. I was, I am, I will be. Look at me. You're looking at Pharaoh. You're looking at the Israelites. You're looking at your bank account. You're looking at your problems. You're looking at the person you're angry with. You're looking at the circumstances of your life. I believe tonight the Lord God is saying to you and to me, look at me. The Lord's saying, look at me. Lift your eyes above the stuff of your life and see Him. See the great I am. See the one. See the one who put Pharaoh on his throne and will remove him from his throne. See the one who used the Assyrians in the day of Isaiah to be a scourge to his people. But then who destroyed the Assyrians in a week through the work of the Babylonians and the Persians? See the God who holds the beginning and the end of history in his euphemistic hands, if you will. He's saying, look at me. You remember a few weeks ago, I used the phrase, the trampoline heart. Sometimes we hear God's word, it goes into us, and as it gets near to the core of our being, it bounces off our heart and leaves. It's like a child bouncing on a trampoline. And the word goes in and it hits us and we throw it off with excuses. We throw it off. This elasticity is still present in our heart. And the truth of God hits us and we throw it off and we say, I can never believe that. That's old fashioned. That is something my friends will never accept. That's not working for me. You see, that's where Moses found himself. Moses did it his way and it didn't work. And he was doing it God's way and it wasn't working. You might think, okay, he's toast. It's over, Dunsky. You know, give him his pink slip. Let him go back to Midian. No, I believe that it's at that moment when faith is truly born in a person's heart. I believe it's at that moment when the person recognizes what true faith is. It's not in themselves and their own ability. And it's not in God doing whatever we want God to do, when we want Him to do it, how we want Him to do it. It's at that moment when we realize, I'm out of control. And God, you are either the God of the details, or you just don't exist. I just can't believe in you. Now, I want you to recognize that many of us in this room, whether we want to admit it or not, are at that place. We're at that place when we're alone. We're at that place when we're discouraged. We're at that place when the circumstances have overwhelmed us and we've tried to do it God's way. We've tried. Said, Lord, I've tried. I believe that you're at a moment when the Lord could be birthing a faith in you. That will be a forever faith. It'll be a faith that's not based on you. And it's not based on God doing what you want Him to do. It's based on the character of God. The character of God. And we see the character of God in the dark moments of our lives. I was visiting a cardiologist this week because one of our aunts had heart surgery. And she lives in Odessa, which, of course, is the core of Superior cardiology. I think if you have to have heart surgery, I would immediately take a Greyhound to Odessa. But we had the opportunity to meet the doctor, and a very warm, thoughtful, kind man. And And I had been meditating on this passage, and so I literally asked him a couple questions about the heart. And as he was speaking to me, I got this sense of a combination between what you're born with and how you handle it. Kind of the genetics and the environment meet in the reality of your physical heart and what that looks like. And he explained to me that over time, in the arteries, as things build up, the arteries become less flexible, the walls thicken. And I could not help but think of our spiritual hearts. I just couldn't help but think about that. And to say, Lord, how thick are the arteries of my spiritual heart? How clogged are they with my sinful thoughts? How clogged are they with my sinful actions? How clogged are they with my unbelief in you at moments when things are out of my control? Because to me, Western Christianity looks like things being okay with me financially and physically as prerequisites for God being a good God. If things aren't good for me financially and physically, God is just not a good God. You preach it all you want, you read your Bible all you want, but he's just not a good God. Come on. Because we worship comfort so much. And this clogs our heart. It hardens our heart. Now, I believe very clearly the Bible teaches that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. What does it look like? Let's just hear the phrase that the Bible uses to describe a hardened heart. It says, if you will, this very simple phrase that parents have been telling their children for years. He says that he will not listen to me. I'll just use the last instant of it in verse 13 of chapter 7. Still, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, meaning to Moses and Aaron. He wouldn't listen to them. He wouldn't listen to the words they spoke, and he wouldn't listen to the signs that they performed. Remember when he threw his staff down? This is Aaron throwing his staff down. It turns into a serpent. The magicians of Egypt throw down their staff, and they become serpents too, which is like, whoa, kind of got a standoff here. And then Aaron's staff goes around and swallows each one of their serpents, which is like clear victory for the good guys, right? You know, if you're Pharaoh there, you're like, whoa, dude, we got toasted in this battle, right? The battle of the cobras. And so he's recognizing this, but you know what? He doesn't believe. He can't hear. His heart is hard. I think the question each one of us has to answer is this. Tim, how do I know if God has hardened my heart and that's why I don't hear him? Or do I have a soft heart and I'm not listening to him? And over time, I continue to not listen to him and my heart becomes hard. I'm not a physical doctor, and I know some of you are doctors out there, and you might be thinking, you're in the ballpark, you know, with your little heart illustration. But I am a spiritual doctor, and I do understand spiritual hearts. And I watch the thickening process of a person's spiritual heart when they don't listen to God and they sin. And it's not just they, it's us. When I don't listen to him and I sin, I watch the wall of my spiritual heart get thick and unresponsive and dull. This doctor went on to explain that as the heart weakens, a person stops being active. They stop acting upon what they hear. And then they reach a point where even if they wanted to act upon it, they couldn't. They can't. Their heart is so hard. And I just want to kind of, in the middle of this sermon about Exodus chapter 7 and Moses and Aaron and Pharaoh, I want you, if the Holy Spirit would be so kind to reveal your heart to you, would you say that you have a soft heart or that you have a hard heart? I don't know. I don't know you. But with the Lord's presence here tonight, what would you believe about your heart? You might say, how would I know? Do you hear His voice? The word for hear in both the English, I shouldn't say both, in the English, in the Hebrew, and the Greek, it all means the same thing. It means you hear with an intent of obedience. Now, some of you who aren't parents don't understand that definition. But if you're a parent and you told your kid to shut up and sit down, and if they keep talking and standing, they didn't hear you because they didn't obey you, right? That's the biblical meaning of that word. With that definition, do you hear God? Do you listen to Him? Do you hear Him as you read His word and then obey Him? And each one of us is going to have an answer that varies on this spectrum. If you're going to start over here with soft heart and end up over here with a hard heart, you're like, I don't know where to put myself, Tim. It's like we've got this hard heart meter, right? And it kind of goes back and forth. And you might, right now, you might think, my heart's really soft because I'm scared to death that I would have a hard heart like Pharaoh because I'm not listening to him the way I should be. Oh, Lord, forgive me. And I want you to listen to that little vignette I just gave you. That's a soft heart. A soft heart is a person who recognizes that they're not hearing the Lord. And they say, Lord, I can't hear you. Oh, Lord, help me. Or a person who says, Lord, I can't hear you and I want to hear you. Oh, Lord, help me. And a soft heart is even a heart that says, I don't want to hear you, but I want to hear you. That's a soft heart. That's not a hard heart. Somewhere in this process, you find yourself. Hear His voice. I want you to notice something that leapt out at me, just leapt out at me, clear as a bell, in verse 6. Moses and Aaron did so. They did just as the Lord commanded them. Another translation for that would be, they did exactly what the Lord told them to do. When I cook, a lot of times I improvise. And when you're cooking, you can improvise. When you're baking, you may not, cannot improvise. Baking is a formula. Cooking is kind of an experience. Right, I think a little more pepper would look good on that steak, or a little cayenne, or let's cook it over mesquite, or blah, blah, blah. Baking is a different deal. If it says 375 for 17 to 19 minutes, you know, and you pretty much have to stick with that if you want it to come out. And I want you to recognize a couple things about the Lord as you kind of, as he's kind of cooking in you. Do you do exactly what He tells you to do? The reason they did exactly what He told them to do is because they wanted all the responsibility to be on Him. They wanted to look at their boss and say, I did exactly what you told me to do, Mrs. Smith or Mr. Smith. You told me A, B, C, D, E, F, G, the policy manual. I did the procedure. And you know what? The sales are down. I don't know what to tell you. That's the approach they took. They said, Lord, it's not about us now. It's about you. It's about your reputation. That's the mark. That's the mark of a person who's truly in faith. They say, Lord, I no longer have confidence in me, but I have confidence in you to the degree that when I hear you, I'm going to do it the way you told me to do it. because it's all about you. Lord, the results are in your hands, is what they're saying. Lord, we give you Pharaoh. We're just going to listen to you and follow you, Lord. I want you to know that that's a soft heart. It's a soft heart who says, I'm going to trust the Lord, whether this looks like a success or a failure. Now, I want to give you a secret. And this secret could unlock the rest of your life. And I don't say that kind of TV evangelist preacher kind of way. I mean, in a real meaningful way, this is something the Lord really used to change my heart and my life. As I pondered the idea of what responsibility do I have for these people I teach and I shepherd and I love. And I get brokenhearted when I see them stray. They get brokenhearted when they see me stray. Lord, how do we live our lives this way? I want to give you a couple thoughts that have been very, very, very meaningful for me over time. One is that God doesn't call us to be anyone but ourselves. You don't have to try to be another person. Just be yourself. Don't try to become someone you're not. And don't pretend to be someone you're not, thinking that you're doing God a favor. Don't pretend. Be who you are. Be present in the moment. Whether you're preaching or you're selling or you're mothering or you're working on your marriage, be who you are. Calmly before the Lord and trust the results to Him. Be authentic. Do you know how many years it took to get Moses to the point where he could stand before Pharaoh with his older brother Aaron, 83-year-old Aaron, and just be himself? Just to stand there before him and tell him what God told him. It takes a long time for some of us to get to that point. And I don't want you to beat yourself up if you're in the journey of learning to be yourself and learning to be authentic. It'll come as you stand humbly before the Lord and as you put your confidence in Him instead of yourself. It'll come to you. It's a heart work of the Lord. Trust Him with that, okay? Trust Him with that. Calm down. You don't have to raise your voice. You don't have to attack the other person. Just be yourself. Be honest. If you're hurt, say you're hurt. Don't act like it's okay. Just be honest. Do you see how many years it took to get a wonderful man of God like Moses to that point? It took 8 decades. Some of you, fortunately or unfortunately, will not live that long. So now, even as a young person, humbly before the Lord, be yourself. And be yourself everywhere you go. The other thing I wanted to mention to you that has been meaningful for me, and I hope that would be helpful for you, is that you have to lay down your agenda. You have to lay down your agenda to be loved and liked by everyone. You have to lay down your agenda of being a success in the Western culture. You have to lay down your agenda of being the most gifted person wherever you are, the most beautiful woman in whatever room you happen to enter. Because when Aaron threw down that staff, there was a moment of truth there, wasn't there? I mean, what if he threw down the staff and it went boom, 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 boom? And he's like, yeah. What happened there? You know, who unplugged the cord? You know, what happened here? That was a moment, y'all. Moses had only done that once. Moses had only thrown that thing down one time. and had it turn into a serpent and then grab it by the tail. It was in the desert of Midian. The next guy who did it with the elders was Aaron. And then the next time they did it again, it was in front of Pharaoh. This was a fresh trick, y'all. This was a new sales pitch. You know what it was? It was ultimately saying, God, if you don't do this, it's not going to happen. I throw it down. I'm going to ask you to throw down your agendas tonight and to hear God's voice and to take up His agenda, to take up His calling for you, to live your life for Him. Whether you're a banker, or you used to be a banker, or a broker, or a mom, or a dad, or a salesman, place your agenda underneath His and watch and see what God does in your heart, to work in your heart. So I come humbly before you this evening with God's word. And I want you to notice what happened when Moses and Aaron did it exactly the way God wanted them to do it. I want you to hear what happened in verse 13. Still. That's a big word. Still. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And he would not listen to them as the Lord had said. They did it by the book. In God's power. And at that moment, it appeared as though it did not work. As a parent, I have done the definitively accurate thing with one of my children. They've done X and I've applied Y. And it didn't work. They rebelled. I did it just the way God called me to do it, in the attitude God called me to do it in, and they rebelled. I want you to learn a lesson tonight. You can do things just the way God has called you to do them, and it may not appear as if it worked. Now here's the bow on top of the package. Many times, what appear to be your greatest failures are the greatest spiritual successes God will ever work in your heart. Last night in Odessa, I was talking to a man who works in a construction company. And I was talking to him about his faith in the Lord. And he said to me, Tim, God closes doors on me. And I always get mad and frustrated with Him. And then He always opens the door that's better. And he goes, I can't believe I've lived 50 years and I'm just now starting to learn that. To trust the Lord that when He closes one door, He'll open another one. And I want to give you hope tonight that in your life may look like a failure to you. But I want you to know that God could very well be doing something very significant in your life. And you know what it is? It's keeping your heart soft. Because my prayer for every soul that is seated in this room tonight is that your heart is soft. And Paul, if your heart is broken, it's a really good sign. For the acceptable people to God are those with broken and contrite hearts. Let's pray together. Lord, this evening, we've slipped our feet into the sandals of Moses and Aaron and even Pharaoh. And Lord, we've tried to look at this passage from their perspective in the power of Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, all the preaching and all the reading and all the singing really comes down to what's the condition of our heart. Lord, I don't know. I truly don't know how the hardening of a heart ultimately works. That is in your hands. But Lord, I do know tonight, I do know that right now at this moment, many of us are experiencing a tenderness in our heart, recognizing, Lord, what might appear to be a failure to us in the past, losing self-confidence and losing the confidence of others, is in reality, Lord, two wonderful steps toward understanding that our hearts are to be broken and contrite, and that our only confidence is to be in you. Lord, remove the springs of these trampolines of excuses and rationales, and allow us to receive the beauty of your word, and the beauty of your word reveals the lover of our soul, Jesus Christ, who takes us as we are. We love you, Lord, and we beg you in the name of Jesus, as much as it has to do with you, please make our hearts soft. And as much as it has to do with us, may we walk as humble and contrite people. We make our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our only hope. Amen.